Yes. It takes more than a Felix Mendelssohn to evoke this following story. Gillian Tett joins us, U.S. Managing Editor of the Financial Times, joins us from London. Gillian, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Gillian, I just don't know where to begin. Prince William has proposed to his longtime girlfriend, Kate Middleton. There will be a wedding, right?
Absolutely. Next year.
Next year.
They haven't set a date yet.
So we've got a year to contemplate all of the deep emotional and commercial issues that are buried in this nuptial that is about 12 months away. First of all, you know, how are Britishers taking this particular story? I mean, it's fraught with all kinds of, you know, deep themes. There's the mom issue. There's the dad-son issue. There's the who's going to be king issue. And then, of course, there's just the pageantry of the royals itself. Take any of those or all of those.
Well, if there was ever a moment that the British government wanted a bit of distracting, feel-good news, it's probably right now. I mean, we know the British economy is in the doldrums. We're facing public sector spending cuts. You know, we have the Eurozone problems. You know, you name it, there are problems besetting the UK right now. And yet here comes along a piece of news that is thoroughly feel-good. As you say, it will be drawn out over quite a long period and very distracting. And it won't be any surprise that this morning the British paper are absolutely full of the news, and so, for that matter, are many of the continental European papers, too.
Part of the intensity of the reaction to Princess Diana's departure and passing and tragic death in 1997 was the fact that Britishers, and particularly British women, really identified with her. Do the British people identify with William and Kate as just a regular old couple, as folks that they could sort of come up to and talk with on the street?
I don't think many British people identified with Diana as somebody in terms of her background. She did come from a very aristocratic background. She had quite an unusual life trajectory. But she did have enormous emotional intelligence and was very good at reaching out to people. Now, the great thing about Kate is that she comes from a family that is not aristocratic, unlike Diana's. Very run-of-the-mill, very much a self-made family. Her mum and dad are millionaires, but they got their money by selling party novelties and things.
Party novelties?
They run a mail order party novelty set.
So they're like right in the business
they're
of doing
totally
the Will and Kate mugs. They'll do the combs, the commemorative
the handkerchiefs.
Right.
Exactly. Well, hey, if nothing else, they know how to throw a party. But you know, in some ways, I'm normally based in New York. I'm just over in London this time on a short trip. But in some ways, they're very American. They're self-made millionaires. They don't come from a posh family at all. The mum was an air hostess for a long time. And, you know, they've done good. These days, they live a very comfortable existence, middle-class existence, in a very pleasant green part of the UK. But they're not aristocrats. And oddly enough, therein lies potentially the hope for this particular wedding. Because in the last 30 years, it's become clear to everyone that the last wedding was an absolute disaster. I mean, you know, in many ways, it was the last manifestation of the Cinderella myth, that, you know, what any young woman wanted to do was to marry a prince and all the problems would be solved. She was incredibly young. She said in retrospect, she didn't know what she was getting into. Charles was a lot older and in many ways was being quite manipulative. I mean, the contours of the story are familiar to everyone.
Well, but it's the Cinderella myth crossed with Edgar Allan Poe, I think. I mean, you know, Diana tells stories of really emotional torture in a sense. I mean, these are a nasty crew, the royals, and I'm wondering if people in Britain, particularly women, are worried for poor Kate. She's going to have to be pretty tough to go into this gang.
Well, any bad marriage is a nightmare. I mean, you know, whether it's an aristocratic one or not. But, I mean, listen, the good news about this marriage is that people have learned some lessons. So they've known each other for 10 years, not 10 minutes. You know, they've clearly thought deeply about it. It's been claimed that no pressure has been put on Prince William at all. And they've met in moderately normal circumstances, or about as normal as you can be when you're the future heir to the throne. You know, some people are concerned about the fact that Kate Middleton hasn't actually worked much since university. She's not had much of an experience, you know, in real life, as it were. But it's a lot more real than Princess Diana in some ways. And so the omens look better anyway.
And you can't really prepare. I mean, it's not like she has to get prepared for real life. She's not about to have a real life.
No, what she's been prepared for effectively is being in the public eye.
Right.
And,
yeah,
you know, during this very long courtship, she has been repeatedly tested. And interestingly enough, so have her friends and family. And there have been spates of very nasty, spiteful stories in the past about the Middleton parents. I mean, you know, the fact that the mother was an air hostess was a butt of jokes amongst some of the aristocrats and things. But actually, they've weathered all that with tremendous grace, discretion, and basic decency. I mean, they appear to be a family full of common sense. And by golly, do we need a bit of common sense right now?
And they're toughened up by this media hazing that's already transpired. I mean, in the past, you'd get a kind of secret story of the royals and the weddings, and then, you know, decades later in Vanity Fair and other magazines, it would come out what actually happened. I mean, Kate and Prince William are living together now, and it's about as boring a domestic arrangement as you can imagine. There's no secrets to this particular relationship, are there?
Well, as far as one knows, and goodness me, the tabloids have been all over every single inch of the Middleton family and this relationship for years. As far as one knows, there aren't many more secrets. And, you know, they deserve enormous kudos for having survived thus far.
Right.
It's probably about the best preparation they could have. And if they do manage to pull it off and have a successful and happy marriage, then they will deserve even more kudos. And perhaps in a very, very cynical age, it really will be a reason to feel romantic and to feel impressed.
Well, we're talking with Gillian Tett, who's the U.S. managing editor of the Financial Times. You guys do prognosticating all the times on financial matters. What are the odds? Is it going to be a King Charles or a King William first?
It may well be a short King Charles and then a King William, is my guess.
All right. Gillian Tett, U.S. managing editor of the Financial Times, talking about the royals. Kate Middleton is engaged
she
to be married.
She sounds like she wants a happy ending for Prince William.
Sure. I think they all do. Okay. They could use some news in Britain right
yes.
now.
Yes.
Maybe they can.
But can they pay for the wedding?
Maybe they can wedding their way out of financial difficulty. Hire some of those public sector workers.
That's
back.
What I'm cynical you know, about.
They'll all be caterers.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.